to be kind to yourself, because I spent so long in my early couple years trying to fit into that 165 class. But it's like the whole time I was competing in those classes, my body weight was sitting around 190 to 195. It's okay to be a super heavyweight. It's okay to weigh over 200 pounds. The moment I let myself do that, my lifts got stronger, like significantly stronger. I put 500 pounds on my total in three and a half years because I let myself be bigger. You have to wonder, is it your main goal to fit into a weight class or to be stronger? Because the sport of powerlifting is to be stronger.
Welcome to the future is female powerlifting. A show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha, my beautiful friends, and welcome back. We are on episode 70, and I am closing in on 3 years of having this podcast. Are y'all hearing this? 3 years. It slowly crept up on me, and I realized, holy crap, at the end of this month, it's going to be 3 years that I've been able to interview, talk to some amazing people in powerlifting, get to know a lot of lifters, and really unlock some of their superpowers. And today, you all get to hear Miss Kirsten Scurlock. And I was really blown away at the end of our conversation and this interview because Kirsten talked about things that I didn't really know about. And that's what I love about this podcast and podcasts that do a long form interview, which is what I do, because you find out little things that you wouldn't necessarily find out in a social media post or a quick little 1-2 interview. You really kind of get to sit there and listen to the lifter, you know, open up about parts of their life that was hard, that was a struggle. Kirsten was honest in so many aspects of her training and really how she got to where she is today. And it's, and I don't use this word often, it's inspirational. It's really amazing to hear how she was really able to build her confidence to be one of the strongest women in the world. You'll hear her share with us her struggles early on when she was in cheer and how that translated for her as she moved into powerlifting. And it wasn't easy. She had to overcome a lot of mental blocks that she shares with us. And it's amazing because once she sort of shifted that, everything changed. Everything improved. Her confidence under the bar, the way that she lifted, skyrocketed. So stay tuned to listen to how she did all that. And I want to give a big shout out to Soliz Liu. Okay, Heidi. She left us a review on Apple Podcasts and she said, love this podcast. Amazing interviews, great powerlifting information shared to get people into the sport and answer frequently asked questions. And I'm glad you're able to leave this. And I'm loving when you leave a review and you guys are taking from this. And if you're really connected to our listeners, I mean, to our lifters who are sharing their stories, if there are parts of this that helped you, you know, let me know. I'm pretty active in Instagram. I love to share when anybody shares something with me. I send it back to the person I interviewed because, you know, like I said, this is a small community, as big as it may seem to us. Every little bit makes us be more connected. And don't forget, this podcast is brought to you by my gym, Core Strength and Performance, where we live through strength. And if you are looking for some online training or in-person training, visit core256.com. I would love to help you achieve your goals. Now, let's get it started with Kirsten. Yeah, okay, that makes sense when you were talking about moving around. So you think that helped you?
It definitely helped a lot, just being more active at work. Because, like, I used to have a lot of back issues, like lower back issues, just from sitting at my previous job so much. So my hip flexors are always tight. My quads are always tight. Just always being in that sitting position. So now being on my feet a lot more, I have like zero lower back problems just because everything's moving all the time. And when I go to the gym, it's so much easier to warm up now because my body's already kind of warm from walking around all day.
Yeah, I will say that once I started to do a lot more sitting down,
because, you know, my husband and I, we own a gym, but he's our main coach. So I only coach our powerlifting class and certain classes. So I do a lot of clerical work, as I call it, like management stuff. So computer stuff, sales stuff, all that BS. And yeah, oh, it sucks. I get out and I feel like I have to unfold myself because it just feels like I'm stuck into this position. And then as I sit up, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not
right.
Doesn't feel good after squatting.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining me. I'm pretty excited to get you on here.
Yeah.
I'm so excited too. I was trying to see if I could find some podcasts that you had been on. Have you been on any podcasts?
I've been on probably one podcast, the Let's Get Stupid podcast that Huck Finn Barbell puts on of Chicago. So I've been on that podcast, but that's the only other podcast that I've been on.
It's exciting. I always like to listen, you know, when other, like our guests have been on shows and when you've done interviews and things like that. So, but there was so many of you training. I was like, damn, man, you competed UPA, like WRPF and all that. I actually saw a squat from UPA last year. That was a pretty killer squat. But I feel like you've made such big jumps in your training and your results in the last couple of years. But I think the thing I like most about what you talk about, it makes me laugh, but you know, when you joke about being weight cuts and stuff like this, like when you're talking about, you had a picture of yourself, you're like, didn't make that 132 class or, and I can laugh about that. But I really loved, the post that you had where you were leaning on the barbell and you were kind of talking about how, like, I never saw the potential in me the way others did in me. And I think that it speaks volumes as to probably the person you're now becoming and who you're showing and things. And maybe you could talk about that a little bit. Like, what did you mean by becoming the person that other people saw you as?
So I've done a couple different sports. So my main sport before I did powerlifting was cheerleading. The whole time I was a cheerleader and an athlete in that sport, I had such bad issues with like having self-confidence, and I would go to practice and I would kill myself at practice. And then I would get out on the competition floor and I would just freeze. And I would like go for a tumbling pass and either like land on my knees or just like, you'd almost tell yourself in the middle of your pass that you can't do it, that you're not going to land it. And then it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy after that.
Right.
And I went through that for probably 6 years where it was just like, I just kind of held myself back so much just because I just didn't think that I was capable of doing the things that like my coach wanted me to do. She would, you know, I went to a very small college. So on our cheer team, you were expected to do everything. You were expected to lift people up in the air. You're expected to do tumbling passes. You're expected to, you know, dance and do everything in the routine. And it's a lot different at the big colleges where it's like you get put on the spot as a dude, a big dude, and all you have to do is lift the girls. And then there's another dude on the team that all he does is tumble back and forth. And at our college, like we're expected to do all of it. And so I was just, even at 165 pounds in college, I was just always so winded. I was just always out of shape. I just like, just didn't feel confident in myself like at all the whole time until probably my senior year where I was just like, you just have to let it go. You just have to believe in yourself. And then my senior year was probably the best year. I like made All American my senior year. So I went from not even being a contender to like, okay, like you can do this. And I just wish, I always look back and wish like if you would have started your freshman year the way you ended your senior year, like you would have just been so much better of an athlete.
Yeah, there's so much experience, like so much you learn at that time, you know, as young women between that age. Like I feel like I was definitely unconfident. I played sports, but not on a competitive level, you know, like that. And I have a friend that went to college when we went to a small college, and she would tell me the same thing because it wasn't University of Hawaii, but it was a smaller campus. So it's actually a separate cheer team. And I've heard the same kind of thing. It's super interesting. So what made you sort of realize that like, fuck it, I'm just going to be confident. I'm just going to own it. Like what happened in that time?
So it, became really frustrating to me because it's like I would go to tumbling practice and, you know, I could land all these skills. Like I could do all the skills that it was expected of me. But then you put it in a 3-minute routine where you're out of breath and you feel like you're dying. Like you just sprinted a marathon and I just like couldn't control my body and I just couldn't complete the tumbling passes that were expected of me. And I just always felt like I was letting my teammates down so bad. And that started to wear on me every single time. It's just like, our coaches would make us do full outs and then I would just like not do my pass because I just like didn't think I was going to be able to land it. And I just had to like shake myself one day and say like, you're on a team, like you're letting other people down. You're getting points deducted because you have decided that you aren't good enough. And when I like stopped letting myself think like that, then we started winning. We placed second at nationals and down in Florida. They made like a whole Netflix documentary, not on my team, but like about the nationals down in Florida. And so
I think I watched that.
It's like called Cheers or something like that.
So
we would go compete at that same nationals. Obviously there's different divisions for different size colleges and stuff, but how they portrayed it is very, very much like what it actually is. Like when you are a college cheerleader and you go down to Daytona, Florida and compete in nationals. So yeah, I went through a lot of that when I was in cheerleading. I did track in high school. Same sort of deal as like I did high jump. I did sprinting. I just kind of told myself, you're just not good at it. And so I just scratched all the time. Every single event, every meet I would go to, I would just scratch everything. I would hit the bar on the way over and high jump and then go back to practice and jump over it just fine type of thing. So it took a lot of like, I want to say like brain power, like sit down, come to Jesus moments with myself of like, you need to stop doing this to yourself.
Yeah.
You can do it. You just have to believe in yourself. Like, especially when you're at a competition. And I will say like the beginning of powerlifting was very, very similar. I had a couple meets where it's like, I missed attempts just simply because I was nervous of being in front of a crowd. Or just because I knew the weight on the bar and I knew it was going to be heavy. So I just like, even on bench, I'd just get it to my chest and then just be like, I just can't press it. Even though like I pressed it in the gym a million times before, but just couldn't do it on the platform.
I feel like a lot of cheer people do really well in powerlifting. Anybody who is like gymnast, cheer, they have really, to me, a very strong baseline. So I could see that translating over to powerlifting. So that's interesting. So you still kind of were dealing with part of that as you started getting into powerlifting. What made you kind of go into powerlifting? It seems like so far from cheer and like maybe track sports, but it seems like I wouldn't even thought those two.
So when I was in college, I actually worked at a fitness gym all 4 years of college. And I had started lifting in high school, actually. So in high school, we had regular PE class and then we had an athletic PE class where like instead of going and playing dodgeball, like no one actually likes to do, you could go into the weight room and they would teach you how to lift weights.
That's amazing.
And I loved it. I had so much fun doing it. I was just like, I would stand on the wall in PE class before, whereas like take me into the weight room and teach me how to squat and bench and like, I was so excited to go to gym every single day. Like that was something that it clicked with me.
Yeah.
I was strong. I was probably squatting like 275 for sets of three in high school with no,
holy crap.
Yeah. But at like 170 pounds with like no belt, no sleeves, no nothing. Cause in high school, you know,
you don't
that kind of stuff. But I benched a plate probably my junior year of high school. So I only got to do that PE class for 2 years, but that's where I started lifting. And then, when I worked at the fitness gym, I kind of got into bodybuilding a little bit, not ever at a competitive level, but just learning all these different accessory movements besides squatting and benching.
Right.
And then my junior year of college, I learned how to deadlift. So deadlift was something I'd never done before. And, like the first time I deadlift, I pulled 315. So yeah, it's just crazy.
It's like, okay, so, I might be good at this.
Yeah. That's something that I was just like immediately good at. And back then in 2012, 2013, like that 315 was really, really strong for a girl. And so especially as a female, like girls weren't into powerlifting yet.
Right.
I had only, you know, ever found on the internet back then just one other girl that was into powerlifting, and it happened to be Chloe Lansing, who only lived an hour away. It's really, really cool to look back now because we're like kind of both at the top of the sport in our weight classes, and like we started at the same time, and we're both like, we live very, very close to each other.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
So when you started out, did you start training at the gym that you were working at? Mm-hmm. Is that what, so, and you just started like, hey, I'm just gonna, did you know people who powerlift, or you just saw it and you just decided to start doing it?
So I had a boyfriend at the time, that he had already done a powerlifting competition. And so he just kind of taught me like, this is how you wear wrist wraps. This is how you wear knee wraps. This is how you put a belt on. And so I would just borrow his belt every single time that I'd like go into heavier weight. And, I did a deadlift only contest. And then I think I pulled like 350 at that contest.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, it was just something that I just stuck with, and it like made me excited to actually work out, because beforehand I was training for like a half marathon, like running all the time, just doing cardio. And I just absolutely hated it. I would tell myself every day I got off work, okay, I'm just going to go do my 30 minutes of cardio and get my workout in. And I just never wanted to do it.
Right.
And lifting weights got me excited about actually working out.
Yeah.
But I will say the first 2 years of college after I graduated high school, I just like had no interest in being in the gym, even though I worked at a fitness gym. I had put on a lot of body weight, and I went through big bouts of depression back then. And so I just like had no interest in actually like working out. But when I got back into lifting, when I started dating that guy, the rest is history. I stuck with it. I loved it. It was something that like I looked forward to doing every single time I like stepped into the gym. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I think when I first started, lifting, like my degree is in kinesiology. So we have to take, you know, body we had to take lifting or, you know, some sort of weight training. And I didn't really take it as serious. Definitely not as serious. I was playing basketball a lot then. And, I was like, oh, this is great. And this is fun, but not nearly the way, you know, of course it is now. And my professor, yeah. I talk about this on the show a lot, but my professor is a powerlifter. He still is. He's like old school.
Yeah.
He's from Temple University. He was there. He started their powerlifting program. And I feel like I wasted the knowledge of this guy. You know what I mean? Like, so he was there. He was trying to teach us stuff, and I learned minimal, but didn't get to really utilize all that. But that's pretty awesome. So when you got into powerlifting, what was your like training like in the beginning? Were you training yourself?
So at first it was just kind of like, okay, maxing out all the time.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you get frustrated because you're not getting any stronger that way. And kind of the same as you, I had a lot of classes in kinesiology. And so one of my classes was powerlifting or weightlifting. And it was like a one credit class that I was like, screw it. I already have interest in it. I'll just use this as my time during the day to like go to the gym instead of trying to fit it in between work and practice and school.
Great idea.
So part of the curriculum was he made you go look for a program.
Oh.
And that semester is like, you come into the gym, you do your own program. And then at the end of the semester, you test your maxes. And so I went on the internet and like looked up like the Cube program, because that was the only program out at the time. And I got really strong off of the Cube program. And then I graduated that year. So then I signed up for my first meet. I think it was like July. So I graduated in May of 2015, did a meet in July. And it was just crazy to see that like my numbers had gone from, gosh, I think I was always scared to max out on squats. So I will just say like 275 was like my max squat. And then I squatted 350 with no knee sleeves at an APF meet. And then I got 170 and deadlifted 392 or whatever the number is. And so, yeah, that was like my first meet. It was right after I graduated college.
Well, that's great. I mean, you're going to run Cube's. That's a hard program for a beginner to even intermediate. So that, I mean, to do that, I would expect you'd have hard and fast gains and you might have some injuries here and there.
Yeah. And what's crazy about it too, is like the Cube program has like, so say your deadlift day, they have a deficit a normal deadlift and then a block deadlift. And I didn't know at the time you were supposed to choose like whatever was going to help you the most, just like the three sets of eight. So I was doing like 9 sets of 8 on each lift. But I just remember after the first week, I was like, I'm just so sore. I can like barely walk. And
That's crazy. I can't even imagine that.
I did actually well enough for the program. So I just like did all 3 sets of 8 on each exercise until like, I'm just like, okay, I just can't do this anymore. It's so heavy.
Isn't that funny though? Like looking back, you're probably like, what the fuck was I thinking doing that? Like that probably was really dumb. I did a DUP, you know, when I first started, and I thought, oh, I need to be in the gym more and I need to have more, you know, let's undulate this. And like, I was not advanced enough for that to be like, I needed to get my baseline down strength. You know what I mean? Like I definitely had not even capitalized on that. And I feel like a lot of people who train themselves in the beginning do asshole things like that. Like, well, let's just do that. And like, that sounds good. That's kind of funny though, that your teacher, I mean, he really didn't have to do much. He just like, hey, why don't you find a program and then you follow.
He's like, come to class, like, please just come to class and lift weights. Like that was the class. So
that's actually really good. So after that, what did you start doing? So did you follow Cube? Did you keep going through that route?
Nope. Basically I just trained with my boyfriend at the time, a couple other training partners, one that I still train with still today. His name is Aaron. So he was the one at the showdown with me handling me.
Okay.
While my coach was judging, but, we just kind of did our own thing in the gym. And I didn't really get any stronger for probably 3 years.
No shit. So you think it's just because you just doing whatever.
Yeah. So it was just like, I was never really on any sort of program. I was just kind of making up my own program. I didn't really know what the hell I was doing. So, it'd get time to get on the platform and I'd pretty much only put like 5 pounds on each lift. So it's like, but that's over, you know, I'd only do one meet a year. And so by 3 years in, I'd only increased my total by 25 pounds. So,
Wow. Yeah.
So my intro to powerlifting, it's like, I started off with a bang, but I just wasn't that good at it after. You know, I never thought I would get to 1,000 pound total. I remember making a video back in 2018. I competed at the Chicago Fit Expo and it was my first meet prepping by myself. I broke up with that boyfriend. I wanted to do that meet for myself just to say, like, I'm not only doing the sport just because of this person, because I liked lifting and I liked to do it for me. Obviously I'm still doing it today, but I went 5 for 9 at that meet. It was a really, really bad meet and I just felt so defeated. I ended with a smaller total than I did at my first meet or very close to that. And so I hired a coach after that and like we added 200 pounds on my total in like 3 months. It's crazy.
So do you think it's pretty much the programming? Like just did not have, and I think this is like a perfect example of when we talk about, I tell people like find a program and stick to it. Find what works for you. And it's okay to find another one later, you know, but don't go hopping like in between the program. You got to give it some time, but you do need some sort of like direction. You can't just be winging it or taking bits and pieces. Like I know some people who take bits and pieces of Louis concepts, try to run a conjugate and they pull to a max all the time, every session, which like there takes some thought. When you're pulling to a max, there has to be some thought in how the program looks. You can't just be like, we're meet ready every meet. That can't always be sustainable. So that's great. So like your programming then, let's say right after that is, you said it was very similar in the sense that like with Michael, you said you're doing a lot more volume, right? So a lot of workup sets to a max and then back off sets. And you feel like that's been very helpful for you because of the amount of volume you're doing, but they're all submaximal volume, right?
Yeah. So even right now, like I'm in my first week of prep for the hybrid meet. And I'm sitting down and I like to like, I'm a very, I would describe it as like, even though I have a coach, I'm still a very self-sufficient athlete. I want to understand why I'm doing the things that I'm doing at all points and times. I'm not begging my coach to watch my videos. I'm watching my own videos to see why my form is breaking down, what I can change on each set. So if I know on the way up, something feels heavy, something feels off, not right, I'll watch my video and I'll critique what is going on so that by the time I get to my top set usually looks like my best set of the whole training session, because I know how to look at each lift because I've spent so much time coaching myself as my own coach. But yeah, I will say, since I've been working with Michael Greeno, I call him Greeno all the time because that's his last name. But,
yeah. It's a great last name, by the way. I was like, Greeno, when we were talking together, I was like, yeah, Greeno, that is a very good name. I don't know.
So yeah, Greeno will program for me. I'll send him my videos. He'll give his input. He's a very, very positive coach. I will say that. Like, we're pretty good friends too. So it's a very easy relationship to like have with a coach is like proud of. He's always proud of me, which has helped me tremendously because that's all I need to hear sometimes is like, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
But a lot of, so say my bench workout yesterday, it's like I did a set of five at 75%. I did a set of three at 80%. And then we did as many reps as possible at 85%. And yeah. And that's of the numbers that I just hit, at the showdown. So then I did a couple drop sets at 70%.
Okay.
For sets of five. So all of our percentages are kind of in that 70 to 80 to 85% range. And then each week we just kind of move it along and then decrease the reps and just keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And then we also did a lot of overload work. So this is specifically on bench. So we'll do a lot of slingshot and a lot of tube work press. So you're always getting used to heavier weight in your hands, even if it's not going all the way to your chest, so that when you do have that heavy weight in your hands, you know what it feels like. And you've done so much volume beforehand and accumulated over time to get used to that, that bench press. So
So you've been doing more overload, would you say, on bench or on all three lifts?
Mostly on bench.
Probably the easiest.
Yeah. My other two lifts, it's like, I will say it's pretty much like just straight, like you're just doing squats, you're just doing deadlifts. We'll say deadlift is a little bit more various. So we like to throw in mid shin pause deadlifts or block deadlifts or RDLs and stuff like that. But as for those two lifts, it's a lot more of just like straight to the point. This is, you're doing the volume and then we're going to get heavier.
Yeah. It's just going to get heavier. We're not going to change. That's awesome. So you're already preparing for the hybrid, which is kind of crazy to think because you just finished 2.5 weeks ago. How do you feel?
My first, the week after the showdown, I did not want to be in the gym at all. I went in one day and I was just like, I don't want to be here. And so I did a couple lap pull downs, I think, and then helped a couple people in the gym, but I just wanted to go home and lay
lap pull downs of all the things. I can do some lap pull downs.
I didn't want to be back. My first squat session, my body felt like crap. My legs were tight. I hadn't moved around enough after the meet. But then by the end of the week, so I benched yesterday, I was feeling great, pretty much back to normal. So
that's great.
Yeah.
So is anything different for the hybrid? Are you doing anything different? Pretty much the same?
So we're kind of planning right now to cut down to 198. Right now I'm sitting at about 230 for body weight. So we're thinking 10, 15 pound body weight decrease and then a water cut. But if I go 198 for that meet, I could potentially break all time world records. And it's something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, to get back down to 198, because that's where I sit comfortably in the past before my body weight spiked up super heavy and then it was really hard to get it back off. But that is like my goal for hybrid, is to basically repeat what I did at the showdown, but at 198.
Holy crap. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal. Are you adding in cardio? What's going on? Are you just in diets?
So obviously I'm back to work right now. They're having us work 6 days a week. So I'm like working all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do 30 to 40 minutes of cardio on my upper body days. And then being a lot cleaner about what I eat, especially at night, because I eat very clean during the day because I get a 30-minute break and then I get my breakfast in the morning. But just being a lot more thorough about what I'm putting into my mouth, like when I get home from the gym. But also, if I feel like doing cardio on my off days, then I'll go in and do cardio. But that's just kind of the plan right now. That last prep, it was really, really hard for me to hold on to body weight. Yeah, I had to eat basically like an asshole the whole time to like keep my body weight up high because it kept dipping down into like the 220s. So the lowest body weight of that prep was 225. And it's like I started that prep at 245.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I can imagine all that volume is going to just that much volume at that much weight with that intensity. I can only imagine like that's just going to start stripping things after a while. You got to eat a certain way for that. So if you had to give some advice, our listeners are probably beginner to intermediate, you know, and probably a lot of them have seen your page. A lot of them listen to you. A lot of them follow you. What kind of advice would you give to somebody out there who's just starting?
Honestly, my biggest thing of advice is to be patient. And the other piece of advice is to be kind to yourself, because I spent so long in my early couple years trying to fit into that 165 class. And then once I let that go, then I was in the 181 class. And once I let that go, I was at 198. But it's like the whole time I was competing in those classes, my body weight was sitting around 190 to 195.
Wow.
So, yeah. Ultimately, your body, if you're doing the work, if you're eating properly, if you're sleeping, if you're drinking enough water, your body is going to do what it wants to do. And if you're really interested in getting strong, you're going to treat your body well, and it does not matter what weight class you're sitting in. So I'm a big proponent of like, it's okay to be a super heavyweight. It's okay to weigh over 200 pounds. The moment I let myself do that, my lifts got stronger, like significantly stronger. I put 500 pounds on my total in three and a half years because I let myself be bigger. And I just wish more people, not just girls, but males, would realize that like it's okay to not be at where you want to be at, because it's always, you're always going to have time eventually for more meets and to be able to reach those goals. But you have to wonder, is it your main goal to fit into a weight class or to be stronger? Because the sport of powerlifting is to be stronger. So that's always my biggest advice, is be patient and be yourself.
I think that's some of the best advice, because I always hear so many women like, you know, they talk about the unlimited class, or, you know, what about us in between? And I just don't want to be in that, you know, I'll never be in that class. Like, I don't want to be in that class. Well, why not? You know?
And I had that, I also had that mindset for a really long time. I cut one time just to make 198, and it was a really, really hard cut. But it's just like, who gives a shit? No one's going on open powerlifting to look at what you weighed in at. Like, and even at the time, like, we didn't have open powerlifting. We had powerlifting watch or something like that. I don't think your body weight on there, but no one cares that much about what you're doing, honestly, to see, oh, well, she weighed in right at 167. She should have cut two more pounds. So,
I think it's, I mean, it's a powerful statement, and you're the perfect example of that. You know, that somebody who was trying to fit in those weight classes, and the minute you sort of allow yourself to be where it wants to be and not judge it for not making a certain lighter class that you might have been in high school, which is something we always kind of like refer back to, right? Like, we were this small, we were that small. Well, you were freaking 16 years old, you know, like you didn't have muscle, you didn't have a lot of stuff going on in your body. And I think that is so important, because, I mean, you would never be where you're at now if you had probably stayed in that, those weight classes. Like, you would never have the numbers that you had.
That's absolutely true. And at the time too, when I was struggling to make those lower weight classes, it's like I was dealing with so many eating disorders and just, you know, such unhealthy habits. And it's like, if I would have just like ate healthy and ate clean and not starved myself and then binge eat and then, you know, just trying to stay at that body weight, like I would have been much stronger. And I just always look back and I'm like, what if I would have just let myself be strong? Because it took me almost 4 years into my powerlifting career to just let myself be strong. And I did that, my numbers went up. So,
and it's crazy, because now here you are almost controlling it, like, hey, I think I'm gonna go back down and I'm gonna dominate at that weight, because now you you're at this weight. That's, I mean, I think that's amazing, and that's super empowering. I think a lot more women need to hear that. I think they intuitively know it. I feel like I talk to a lot of women. They're like, yeah, I know I shouldn't care, but I really don't want to be, you know, or, but I mean, you look fabulous. I mean, whatever you're up there, you look fabulous. So it's like one of those things where it's like, I, you know, there are many people like me that think you look fabulous, you know? So it's like, it doesn't matter the body weight. you're very confident in that body weight too. You know, and that to me, that, that totally helps.
And honestly, that's what it is like, if you feel good about your body, then you're gonna just put good out. And I've been on both ends of the spectrum. Honestly, like I've been sickly thin at 165 and I've been extremely heavy and so uncomfortable that like my belt doesn't fit and it's cutting into me. And like, I can't even get it on the last hole. Before COVID happened, I got all the way up to 255 pounds and I was so uncomfortable and so unhealthy. And I was dealing with high cholesterol and blood pressure issues. And COVID happened. And I remember all the gyms got shut down and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go outside and I'm going to walk. Like, that's going to be my exercise now. I couldn't even walk for 3 minutes without my lower back hurting so bad that I had to like just walk back into my apartment because I had let myself just become so unhealthy to where the only time that I felt good is when I was under the bar.
Yeah.
And I hated that. And I've been working on that since gym shut down when COVID first started to get myself back to a point where like I feel good about my body.
Yeah.
And at that meet at the showdown, this is the first time that I've stepped on the platform and just been like, I just feel good. I feel healthy. I feel good. I like the way my body looks and I've worked very, very hard for this. And it may have taken me, you know, 2 years now almost since COVID happened. But you don't have to rush into it. You can take your time. So
listen, there's women my age who don't come to that realization, you know, and I'm 40. So it's like that it's better that you learn it right now and you're practicing that and in implying that right now because it's already made a difference. So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And it's like in the long term, if you think about it, it's like people will be like, well, I only lost 2 pounds. Well, I only lost a pound. Well, if you keep losing a pound every single month for the next 2 years, you've lost 24 pounds.
Yeah.
So
that's significant. I don't care how big you are.
Yeah.
24 and pounds is a lot.
Built muscle because you're lifting on top of that. So it's just, yeah, there's no time limit. You can do whatever you want.
I love
as long
it.
As you're happy, as long as you're getting strong.
All right. So this is part of the show where I ask everybody,
what the hell is wrong with you people?
What the hell was I thinking? Where you think back to a time where you thought, what the fuck was I doing A, B, and C, which maybe you have some funny stories. I feel like you would have some funny stories. So is there a time in your powerlifting career, it doesn't have to be in powerlifting, but it's always funnier when it is, that you think back, like, what the fuck was I thinking doing that?
So I got into powerlifting during a time where like knee sleeves weren't a thing. So it was either your like bare knees or your knee wraps. So like I was just always trying to knee wraps all the time. And I look back now and I'm like, I would never put any of my athletes in knee wraps. Like
right off the bat.
Ever. Like right off the bat, they're learning how to squat and you just have them in a big old pair of knee wraps. And yeah,
that's so funny.
Kind of like that. And then there's so many things that I look back now. We kind of already touched on a lot of them, but yeah, like I remember sitting in a sauna suit, like cutting weight for a local meet, just to make 165. And it's just crazy to look back now and just like how much the sport's changed. Yeah.
How did you perform at that one?
That was at my first meet. So I was like, I competed at 165 at my first meet and I did a 15-pound water cut. Like I just look back now and I'm like, why the hell did I do that? Like, why couldn't I just get on the platform and just put up the numbers I was going to put up?
Yeah. Yeah. Just imagine like how much more you could have done. And right. I think that a lot of people, when they do water cuts, they don't necessarily do them the right way. Right. There's like so much. Like I hear people do things, I'm like, why? You know, you're not a wrestler. Like you're doing all that.
Well, it's like I've seen people like put themselves in sweatpants and sweatshirts, and like you're 2 days out, and you're like running on the treadmill, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like
this is your second meet.
Don't run during your training season. So now we're gonna start running, and you're competing in 2 days, and. Yeah, I see silly stuff like that all the time. But
I'm trying to do the opposite. Like, how much sleep can I get in the next couple days? Yeah, like, can I sleep even longer without my body hurting? Like, I'll try that. Kirsten, this has been fantastic. And I thank you so much for joining me. And I think that our listeners are going to get a lot from what you spoke about. And I can always appreciate when somebody comes in and it's very honest about where they got and how they came here. And I love that because to me, that's where I think a lot of women, especially who powerlift, a lot of the women that approach me say they don't even have like a community of powerlifting, you know, like some areas do, but a lot of them are remote. Like I'm listening to this and I'm training with myself in my garage and maybe a friend, and like, they don't know anybody, you know?
I have so many athletes like that. And I do have a cool story about one of them, so I'll share it with you guys. But so I started coaching her, and she was in a Crunch fitness gym.
Okay.
And she had approached me about wanting to do a meet, and she had asked me, you know, what different federations are there? Like, I really am interested in doing this sort of powerlifting, this and that. And the first thing I asked her is, do you have a legit powerlifting gym near you? And she's like, yeah, but I'm just so scared to go to it. And I'm like, all right, well, I will tell you, like, the best thing I ever did was go to a powerlifting gym, which ours is a strongman gym, but there's more powerlifters there than there are strongmen. But so she finally goes to the powerlifting gym, and she is like, I am just so, like, taken back by how much cool equipment there is and everything. And so she's also a massage therapist, and she tells me the other day that she gets offered a job doing massage therapy in the gym on their athletes.
That's awesome. And
then also she's like, they just offered me a position to like teach group classes and like be a personal trainer here too.
Wow.
So I'm just, that is just so amazing that like you just taking that small step of like switching gyms has opened so many doors for you, which is very similar to what I do. I never thought in my life that I would be coaching people in powerlifting and able to make money doing what I love. But like, here we are now, like,
yeah,
doing powerlifting and making money and just helping people. And I just think it's so cool.
That's a great bit of advice though, because I think a lot of people, especially if they're training by themselves, they're not good, you know, they're afraid to take that one step into the gym that looks intense and it's intimidating. I don't know anybody there. There's nothing like familiar to, like, maybe just bars and stuff. But yeah, that's, I mean, once you take that step and it, I think it's interesting because they're so inviting. I rarely go to a strength gym where they're assholes. I mean, I can't even think of one off the top of my head. Like they're always very inviting. Especially as a, I think if you are a woman who coming into a gym like that, a lot of times it's like, yeah, come on in. You know, like there's, we don't have a lot of women who like to train. This is cool.
Yeah.
That's so, that's good. Well, I hope that sounds really positive for her. That's really great that she got a job and everything there. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm so excited for her.
Well, Chris, thank you so much. And I will link all the info in here. And I think that everybody listening is going to follow you and see your road to the hybrid. And what was the one after? The Go Strong?
The Ghost Clash, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'll be in wraps on that meet. So that's a big one, too.
Good luck. I think you're going to kill it. That's going to be awesome.